Okay, we're going to start here by the two dots on Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara is now going to continue with the sugya that we mentioned yesterday. The Gemara says, Gufa, minayim sheinu chaya vela sheyesh ba yediyah b'tchila v'yediyah b'sof. This is what we brought down yesterday in the discussion or the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi. We want to know, how is it that when you have yediyah b'tchila and yediyah b'sof, and then a halama in between, that's only time that you're chayav? So Rabbi Akiva says, Tamlomar v'ne'lam v'ne'lam shnei pe'amim. It says ne'lam twice. Divi Rabbi Akiva. So yesterday we saw the machlokus between Rashi and Tosafot about how to explain why the two words v'ne'lam teach you that you need yediyah b'tchila and yediyah b'sof. And Rabbi Omer, Einu Tzarich, Hari Omer, it says, V'ne'alam, Michlal, Shiada. The word, the actual word Ne'alam itself implies that there was some sort of Yediyah, Vihu Yada. And then we also have in the Pasuk, Vihu Yada, Rekan, Shte Yediyot. That's two Yediyot, one before and one after. It's Imkain, Matam Lomer Ne'alam. So then why do I have the extra word Ne'alam? Again, the Ne'alam is mentioned twice in the Pasuk, or the Psukim there. It says, Chayav Elohim Tuma, Vehelem Mikdash. To teach you that not only are you chayav when you forget about the fact that you're tamei, you're also chayav when you forget about the mikdash or the kodesh, and that you know that you're tamei. And that is the machlokas. Rabbi Akiva believes that when you forget about the mikdash and kodesh, that's not one of the times that you are chayav. Because Rabbi Akiva needs the word ne'alam twice to teach you just about the yediyot. Again, according to Rashi, the fact that I wrote it twice, one ne'alam comes to exclude mikdash and kodesh. The other ne'alam comes to teach you about the yediyah. And he's Rashi over there says you don't need the yediyah besof, otherwise why is he bringing a korban? There's nothing to discuss, so that's automatic. So the yediyah must be talking about the yediyah b'tchila. Tosfot disagreed and says no. The word that the first ne'alam is the gufei, to tell me that he actually forgot. The second ne'alam comes to teach me about the yediyah, plus v'hu yada, that's how Rabbi Akiva gets his shita. Rabbi, on the other hand, thinks that the core of the ne'alam, the gufei, the ne'alam gufei itself, can teach you the yediyah. If that's the case, you have the first yediyah coming from the first ne'alam, you have v'hu yada, the second yediyah, and then the extra ne'alam, you have an extra ne'alam, and he learns from that that you're even forgetting about mikdash and kodesh is enough. So Mar says, Amar, the fact that the pasuk says v'ne'alam teaches you that already knew. My mashma, how do you know from the word that he forgot that he must have known? Because it could have said that it was forgotten from him. The fact says v'ne'alam that it was forgotten sounds like that he did know something and then it was right forgotten. So now, what are you going to say by sota? By sota, it says, so what does that mean? That the husband forgot about? What did he forget about? What did he know that he's forgetting about? That he knew something beforehand. If he knows about it, then how can the mayim work? Why? We have a brisa by sota. It says, at the time that the man is clean and very avon, then the water is checked his wife. If the husband is not clean, doesn't have a clean slate, then the waters do not check his wife. Rashi over here, like he does in Sota, talks about the Nikiyat Avon being very narrow, which is Baalei Achar Shenistira. That the Avon that we're talking about here is that the husband slept with his wife after the Stira, after already there was this Chashash. We know that the Gemara in Sota, as well as the other Rishonim, have a more expansive view of what Mikai Ishmi Avon is. And that Tosfot mentions a little bit over here. And the Ramban al Torah really has the most expansive view, which is Benikai Ishmi Avon means that even if Banav or Benotav, any of his children, anything that he doesn't take care of, anything where he has the possibility of influencing, if he does not intercede in those cases, then the waters will not check at all. But over here you see that if the husband knew about it and he did not object, then the waters are not going to work. There's no way he can be B'digat Amayim. So it can't be that the ne'alam here means that there was some sort of yediyah. Because if there was a yediyah, if he knew for sure she slept with him, then there's no need for the hashgat amayim. Right? If he knew about the problem and he ignored it, that's also an avon, meaning that the husband's not dealing with the problem that's there. So either way, the husband's not naki anymore. If he's not naki, the mayim doesn't work. So it can't be the explanation ne'alam and ne'isha over there means that he knew something beforehand. Also, what about too? Gabi torakti v'ne'alma me'ne kochai u'me'ofa shamayim nistera. So it says about the Torah, right, that it is hidden from all eyes, and me'ofa shamayim, and the birds of the heavens nistera, it's hidden. Michlal diko da'ava yodobe. That means that somebody did know about it. Vaktiv lo yodei no shirka. Nobody knew the value of it. Nobody understood the value of Torah. I mean, that the pasuk's clearly telling you that nobody knew, and yet you're saying v'ne'alam means somebody had to know. So it can't be. So Elamar Abai Kasava Rabbi Yidiat Beit Rabo Shma Yidiah. So this is an important. What Abai says is that Rabbi actually lowers the standard of Yidiah. That we can look at Yidiah. Yidiah is a spectrum of knowledge. When we've been talking about Yediyah until this point of time, we've assumed Yediyah means a real Yediyah. You know exactly about the case that we're speaking about. Not that you have some general knowledge about the situation or a general knowledge about the halacha in this case. We're not meant the specific case that we're talking about. You know, you have knowledge about what's taking place. Along comes Abai, he says that Rabbi believes that the Yediyah that's required for this karban is not that high a standard. It's not the standard that he knows that he's Tamei now. No, he has to have known at some point in his life that Tuma is a problem, and that becoming Tamei is a problem. That's enough of a Yediyah. Right, so now, based on that, we have a case, according to Rabbi, the reason that Elam teaches me Yediyah is because it's not about the specific case, it's about a general Yediyah. So I'm a Republic of Ayel of Tani, in by Yediyah, but Chilav, in by Yediyah, but Sof. How do you explain the case in our Mishnah, where he has no Yediyah in the beginning, and then he has Yediyah, but Sof? Me, Ika, the late Yediyah, Beit Rabo. According to Rabbi's explanation, where you've lowered the standard of Yediyah, who doesn't know that Tuma exists in the world? Who doesn't know that there is some sort of halacha about Tuma and Tumat the Mikdash? How could you suggest that? We're suggesting our Mishnah is a case where he has no Yediyah b'tchila. What is that case? So let me lay in. Mishkachala b'tinok sh'nishba l'ben anachrim. Right, there is such a case. A person who never learned. Somebody who never learned, who was never exposed to this, has a possibility that he doesn't have a Yediyah b'tchila, but he does have a Yediyah b'sof after he becomes aware or knowledgeable about these issues. And this we discussed in Makot about what is the definition of tinok sh'nishba l'ben anachrim. Does it literally have to be a tinok sh'nishba? Right? Can it also be, and what we discussed today is a modern day, in the world of the Chiloni, how much do we consider them to be Tinok Shenishba? Does Tinok Shenishba mean that you have absolutely no knowledge, and that's why you're Ben Anachrim? Or does Tinok Shenishba mean that your educational system doesn't allow you to know otherwise, it doesn't show you another derech? So even though you might be aware that there are people who are Shomer Shabbat, you don't think it applies to you, or because of your education, you think it's not relevant. So how far do we say that? So we saw the machloket, right, both in the Shult and then in the Rishonim, more in the Achronim, and also about the guy, Yain Stam Yainam, also by the Gabe Shabbos, we saw the machlokas there. By all these types of issues, how far do we go to say that someone is a Tinok Shenishba or not a Tinok Shenishba? Right now, Yitziot Shabbat, Shtaim Shehen Arba. Now, this is going to, the next piece of our Mishnah, the Yitziot Shabbat. Tan Hatam, the Mishnah in Shabbat says, Yitziot Shabbat, Shtaim Shehen Arba, Bifnim. Shtaim Shehen Arba, Bichutz, or Bachutz. So how come in the Mishnah in Shabbos, Mishnah Ocha, the Tana Shtaim Shein Arba, Betulo, or Mishnah here in Shavuot, it just says Shtaim Shein Arba, nothing else. Mishnah Otam, why in the Mishnah in Shabbos does it say Shtaim Shein Arba Bifnim, Shtaim Shein Arba Bachutz? So what are the words Bifnim and Bachutz adding for you in the Mishnah in Shabbos, and not over here? So it says, no problem, Otam Deiko Shabbatu, by over there when they're talking about it, that's the Sigvi of Shabbos, Tanya Avot, Vitol Adot. There it does, the Avot and the Tolot. Ocha, the Labi, here it's just bringing a Gav Nasval. It's bringing it down just as a part of a stream of consciousness. Then Avot Tani v'Toladot Do Tani. It only talks about the Avot and not the Toladot. So now the Gemara is obviously going to ask, what are these Avot? But we do have to answer is, what does Bifnim and Bechutz mean? What does Bifnim and Bechutz mean? Rashi over here seems to think, or it seems to indicate that the Bifnim and the Bechutz over here is talking about the Achnasa, and Bechutz means Hotza'ah. So when we say there's shtaim shein arba, right, and when we say bifnim, is with achnasot. Shtaim shein arba is bachutz, means with hotzaot. Now there's two actions you can take. You can take an action of hotzaot, which is moving from reshut yachid to reshut rabim, and achnasa is moving from reshut rabim to reshut yachid. In each of those two situations, there's shtaim shein arba. Tosfos does not like it, and he also mentions that Rashi and Shabbos explains it differently. And therefore he brings down the parish of Rashi, as well as the parish of the Riva. They're nuanced in their difference, but their understanding of Bifnim and Bechutz is the same, which is that Bifnim and Bechutz refers to the persona that is there. The Mishnah and Shabbos discusses two people. There's the Balabayit and the Ani. So then the Balabayit is the one who is Bifnim. He's the one who's inside the house. And Bechutz means the Ani who's outside the house. So it's not a differential, Bifnim and Bechutz is not about Hotzah and Hachnasah, but rather about the individual himself. So you have, for the Ani, who is Bechutz, you have Shtayim Shein Arba. For the Balabayit, who is Bifnim, you have Shtayim Shein Arba. Rashi and the Riva disagree about what the Shtayim Shein Arba is, but their definition of Bifnim Bechutz, at least the Rashi and Shabbos and the Riva, is Bifnim Bechutz refers to the persona, the person is that's there, right? The Balabait or the Ani that is being used as the example in the Mishnah. So now the Gemara suggested at this point, the difference between the Mishnah and Shabbos and the Mishnah here is that the Mishnah and Shabbos is talking about the Avot and Toladot, and over here it's only talking about Avot. So Mara wants to know, well, please explain to me then, if that's the case, what are these, right, what are these Avot and what are these Toladot? So it's Otani, Avot, my Nehu. So what are the Avot? Yitziot. So the Mara says, Yitziot, Tarte Havin. Wait, if you say that we're only talking about Avot over here and not Toladot, what's the Av? The Av Malacha is Hotza'ah. By Hotza'ah, you have only two possibilities of Hotza'ah. What are the two possibilities of Hotza'ah? Either you're in the Reshut HaYachid and you take it out to the Reshut HaRabim, or you're in the Reshut HaRabim and you take it, you reach into the Reshut HaYachid and pull it out to the Reshut HaRabim. Those are two possibilities of being Chayav, right, in Hotza'ah. Where's the four? What's the Shtayin Shein Arba? I can get to Shtayin, I can't get to Arba. So what are you going to say? Mehen L'chiyuv v'mehen L'ftor? Oh, no problem, you know what I'll do? Yes, there are four cases, but the four cases don't mean that you're Chayav. The case where you're Chayav is where you're standing outside, and then you take something from Reshut HaYachid and take it out to Reshut HaRabim. Or you're standing inside, and you take something from the Reshut HaYachid and put it out into the Reshut HaRabim. But there's another two hotzaot, which you're not chayav for. For instance, the Baal Bayit Bifnim takes it and hands it out, but then the Ani takes it out of his hand. Right? Or the other way around. The Ani puts his hand in, the Baal Bayit puts it into his hand, and then he takes it out. Because there you have a chatzi melacha, you're missing either the akira or the anacha. But nevertheless, it is hotza'ah, but it's hotza'ah that you are patur for. So what we'll say here, the shtayim shein arba is all about hotza'ot, about taking it out. Shtayim, you're chayav for. Arba, the other two, you're not chayav for, but that's the arba here. Oh, so that's my ass right away. As David points out, right, we said, Adumiyu demarot negayim, Tani. When we had it by Shavuot, we said that it has to be Dumiyu demarot negayim, where all four of them are yichayav. All four of them are real negayim. The four whites that we're going to discuss later today's daf are all negayim. If by Nigaim we're talking about Shtayim Shein Arba, which all four are Nigaim or Tamei, then I'll be about Shtayim Shein Arba by Shabbat, we must be talking about a case where all four of them are Chayav. So, Alam Rapapa, Hotam the Ikar Shabbat. Now, the other way around. So, over there in the Mishnah and Shabbos, we're talking about the Ikar Alachos of Shabbos, Tani Chiyuve Upture. Over there, the Shtayim Shein Arba is for the Chayev Uliftor. Because then you have Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, and Shtayim Shein Arba Biba Chutz, which actually turns out to be eight cases. Our Mishnah only has four cases. There they have eight cases. So that's the difference. In there, by Ikar Shabbos, they dealt with Patur and the Chiyuv. The Shtayim Shein Arba ends up with two Chiyuvim and two Pturim. Right, Halcha Chiyuve Tani Pturei Lo Tani. Over here, we only dealt with the Chiyuvim and not the Pturim. So Chiyuvim, mind you, what are the four cases where you're Chayav? It's Yot. Right, so, oh, it says Yitziot to Shabbat. Yitziot, we already said, Tartehu da Havyan. There are only two Yitziot. So, Shtayim da Hotza'ah, Ushtayim da Achnasah. That's it. There's two of taking out from Reshut HaYachid to Reshut HaRabim, and then there's two of bringing in from Reshut HaRabim to Reshut HaYachid, just like the Ani. He's where he's standing, right. The Ani is outside, he picks up the object and puts it inside. Or the Baal Bayit standing inside picks up the object from Reshut HaRabim and pulls it into the Reshut HaYachid. Ah, but what's the problem? B'ha Yitziot K'tani. But you want to suggest that the Shtayin is Yitziot, Shein Arba, which is Hachnasot, the two other Hachnasot. But it says Yitziot HaShabbat, Shtayim Shein Arba. Where is the Hachnasa? So Amar Ravashi, Tana, Hachnasa, Nami Hotzah, Karila. That Hotzah is a general term, right, that includes within it Hachnasa, Mimai. How do you know that's true? How do you know that Hachnasa is a Toladar subsumed under the title of Hotzah? Titznan, Hamutzi Mirishut Lirishut. Someone who takes something, this is in the Avot Malachot that are mentioned in the 7th Perek in, right, it's called Godol by Shabbos. So over there it says that there are 49 Malachot. One of the Malachot is Amotzim Rishut Rishut Chayav. Milo Askinan de Kama'ayel Iyule. Aren't we also talking about a case where he brings it in? He does Achnasa. But Kakari Le Hotza, and it still uses the term Hotzah Rishut the Rishut. Over there it doesn't define which Rishut. Amotzim Rishut Rishut can have two possibilities. Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim, or Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaYachid. Because the word Rishut is used, right, in, not with any definition of what it is. If that's the case, then the Mishnah is calling a Malacha, both Hotza'ah and Achnasah is a Malacha of Hotza'ah. But Dilma, Kamafik Rishut HaYachid li Rishut HaRabim. Maybe he's taking it from the Rishut HaYachid out to the Rishut HaRabim. So maybe that's the only case. Mishut the Rishut. So Gemara says, Imkei Nitne, Hamotzi Rishut Yachid, the Rishut Arabim. Then define the term Rishut. You don't have to say, why are you leaving Rishut as ambiguous in the Mishnah if you really believe it's going from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Arabim? Say that. Hamotzi Rishut Yachid to Rishut Arabim. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, my Rishut the Rishut, when you leave it ambiguous, that means that you mean both cases, right? Either case. Afilim Rishut Arabim, the Rishut Yachid, the Karile Hotza. So Gemara says, V'taimumai. Why would you call it Achnasa Hotza'ah? Call it what it is. Why do you have to subsume it under the category of Hotza'ah? So Gemara says, Tana kol kirat chafetz mimkoma Hotza'ah karila. Hotza'ah is not like we think. Hotza'ah means to go out. As we always think of going out, means you go from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim. That's not the case. Hotza'ah, or the definition of Hotza'ah, is simply the moving of an object from a Rishut to another Rishut. Right, that's the definition. The definition is not about directionally, I'm going out. Hotzah just simply means I moved it from one Rishut to another Rishut. And that's why we must understood the definition of Hotzah. Hotzah is not about, you know, Rishuyot necessarily. It's about you moving an object from a Rishut to a Rishut, but not about which particular Rishut you're moving from. Ravina here gives an explanation about why I know that Hachnasa is included Hotzah. Medita Namideka, we have our Mishnah as also. It says, Yitzio de Shabbat, Shtayim Shein Arba, Bifnim, Vishtayim Shein Arba, Bibuchutz. The Mishnah in Shabbat says, Shtayim Shein Arba, Shtayim Shein Arba. And then what does it do? It gives examples. What's the examples it gives? The Kamafarish, Achnosa. Then it goes and explains the case of Achnasa. The Mishnah in Shabbat who gives the example, Shtayim Shein Arba, then goes to get it. That's right. It uses the term Hotzah as the header for the whole Mishnah. And then right after, it describes the case of an Ani, right, that's putting something inside, or a Balabait, right, that is taking something inside. So there, subsumed under the koteret of the Mishnah of Yitzio to Shabbat, it talks about cases of Achnasa. It's now, so Shmamina, from there that you see that Achnasa is included under this category of Hotzah. Now Rava, Omar, Rava gives a different explanation as to our Mishnah over here, why it says Shtayim Shein Arba versus the Mishnah in Shabbos, because he says, Rava Amar, Shtayim Shein Arba means Rishuyot Ketani. Rishuyot Shabbat Shtayim Shein Arba. So don't think over in the Mishnah in Shabbos it's talking about Yitziot HaShabbos maybe. Over here, how come you can include Achnasa under the category over here? Because the category Shtayim Shein Arba is not referring to Hotzah and Achnasa. Rather, Yesh Shtei Rishuyot, what are the Shtei Rishuyot that you have? Shut Rabim, Rishut HaYachid. Shein Arba, Arba means there are four permutations that will make you Chayav. What are the four permutations that will make you Chayav? Well, that's the Hotza'ah of the Balabait and the Achnasah of the Balabait. That is the Hotza'ah of the Ani and the Achnasah of the Ani. I mean, that those four permutations come out because there are two Rishuyot. If there are two Rishuyot and you have two individuals, you can end up with four cases. So again, here, we're not saying that Yitziot HaShabbat refers to necessarily the Hotza'ah, but Yitziot HaShabbat means that on Shabbos there are two Rishuyot that have Yitziot that are Shayach to them that create four permutations. And therefore you don't have to say Achnasa is subsumed under Yitziot. So now it's interesting, Tosfos points out of here that there's some people who want to erase the Girsa early on of Ravashi. Before Ravashi was the one who gave the first answer that Achnasa is subsumed under the category of Yitziot. Why do they want to erase it? Because who's the last one mentioned? Here's Rava. Ravashi is a Batra to Rava. Because Rav Asher was born when Rav had passed away. So why would the Gemara generally, when it brings in order to explain a Mishnah or trying to explain a problem, the Gemara does it in chronological order. Over here, they brought Rav Asher, and then they brought Rova. So they want to erase the Girsa of Rav Asher earlier because it doesn't make sense. Tosa says, no, Tosa says you can leave it. You know why you can leave it? Because Rova's answer here is not relevant to our Mishnah. The Gemara is basically lifting, it's like a cut and paste. The Gemara is taking from another sugya, where Rava is giving such an answer. Rava's explanation about Rishuyot is not necessarily addressed at our question over here. Right? We don't have the Rishuyot, but it's also not, it's not directed at the question itself. It's a statement that he made in some other context. The Gemara from the other context brought it over here. So it's not that this is in the flow of the question, and we have answers from Rav Asher and then Rava. No, Rav Asher had an answer. Then we found Rava made a statement somewhere else. That statement is relevant here because it could answer our question. And since it could answer our question over here, we brought Rav over here, but not that it was in that order. And so this says you can leave the Girsa of Rav Ashi intact. Right now, we're up to Shnayim Shen Arba by the Marot Nigayim. So it's interesting, Tosas, it's not here, but the Tosas on the Mishnah, right, it speaks about the Diktuk over here, about Marot Nigayim, as opposed to Shavuot and Yitziot HaShabbat, where we said Shtayim Shein Arba. Tosas on the Mishnah, the original Mishnah on Ben Arba says, Garsin on Shnayim, Velo Shtayim, Demar'e Lashon Zacharhu. Because the Mar'e of the Nigayim is, right, Marot Nigayim, but the Mar'e, the singular form is Zachar, and therefore, since the singular form is Zachar, it should be Shnayim Shein Arba. So I just pointed out to you, because everything else is Shnayim Shein Arba. Tosas talks about this Diktuk on the Mishnah. So now you have Nigayim, which is Marot Nigayim Shnayim Shein Arba. So now, these are the four. Baheret, the Pasuk mentions L'sa'et, rather, Baheret L'sa'et L'sa'pachat. So now, Baheret, what's the definition of Baheret? Azak Shelig. It's as white as snow. Shniala, now this sapachat we said before, sapachat means a secondary, nispach, right, a derivative of this. So the derivatives of, when it says labaheret laseit lasapachat, so we say the word sapachat both references baheret and seit, that the baheret has a derivative and the seit has a derivative. So what's the derivative of the baheret? So Agamar says, shniala kesida heichal, so the white of the plaster that was on the heichal, the lime that was on the heichal. Se'et, what's the definition of se'et that's in the pasuk? Ketzemer lavan, like white wool, but this is white wool of a sheep that is one day old, means never been dirty, pure white. Shniala, the secondary category is kukuma beitza, it's like an eggshell. So now if I take these, they're actually not in order. I mean that the whitest form here is sheleg, azak sheleg, which is the baharet. The second whitest over here is Tzemer Lavan. Tzemer Lavan is the second whitest. Then Sida Yichal, and then Krum Beitza. Because the two avot, the Beheret and the Se'et, are the highest white, and they will be in excess of any Sapachat, any derivative. So even though Beheret is higher than Se'et, its derivative is below Se'et. Right, so that's the order here, but its derivative is higher than the derivative of Se'et. That's the order here. So Amar Rav Chanina, Mantana Marot Nigayim. Right, so who is the author of this Mishnah of Marot Nigayim? Delo Rabbi Akiva. It must be. Whoever learned this Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva. Why? De'i Rabbi Akiva, because if it is Rabbi Akiva, came in Damar Zulamalamizu, because Rabbi Akiva has a different definition of which are Mitzareif over here. Our the way we've learned it now, Shtayim Shen Arba means that the Toladot over here are Mitzareif to the Avot. Which is that, why are they sapachat? For instance, here, if you have baheret, which is azak shelig, and then you have other whites here, which of those whites are mitztarif? So we said, and Rashi points it out in the Mishnah that we're quoting Marot Nigayim, is that the, for instance, Sida Eichal, which is two levels below the Sheleg in terms of whiteness, because you have Tzemer Levan in between, is still mitztarif to the white of the Sheleg, because it's a Tolada. So the Avot and the Toladot are derivatives, and therefore they are Mitzarev Kagris. When you need a Kagris, the size of a... No, not necessarily. Only with its... possibly only with its Tolada. Now we're going to see Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that you can only be Mitzarev with the white that is adjacent to you. That means if you're one level above or one level below, you can be Mitzarev. If you're two levels apart, you cannot be Mitzarev. So for instance, Sheleg and Sid could not be Mitzareif. Or, right, you could not have the Samer Lavan be mitzdaref with krum beitza, according to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, it's only in the order of whiteness. But we just said that they're called shtayim shen arba because those are the avot and the toladot. Why do we call them avot and toladot? Because they're avin and toladar mitzdaref. But the avin and toladar are two levels of whiteness away, and yet we say they're mitzdaref. So it's obvious that Rabbi Kiva is not the author of the Mishnah, because Rabbi Kiva says only one level is mitzdaref. So that's what he says here. Di Rabbi Kiva came to mar zulam izal mizu bezulam ala mizu. Only in order are they mitzdaref. Right? Then who Sidei Echal is not mitzaref with anybody. Bahadi man litzarfei, according to our Mishnah. Who are you going to connect it with? The tzarfei bahadi baheret. If you want to connect it to the baheret of Sheleg, ikas eita difamine. You have se'eit that's in between, which makes it two levels away. Rabbi Kiva says, no, only one level away can be mitzaref. So the tzarfei bahadi se'eit. So what's one level away from Sidei Echal is the se'eit, which is the tzemer lavan. So why not be mitzaref there? Lav tolada didehu. The way we're setting up in the Mishnah, it's shayin shen arba, means it's not they're in a different category. So you can't be mitzaref them. So where it says, yochi kum beitza nami. Why are you asking the question about Sidei Echal? You have the same problem by Krum Beitza. Why? What are you going to do with Krum Beitza? Bahari man litzarfei. Who are you going to connect that with? Who are you going to put Krum Beitza together with? You want to put it together with litzarfei bahari seit. You want to put it together with seit, which is its av, which is semer lavan. That's two categories away. You can't do that. So ikasidah dothmina. You have the derivative of the tolada of baheret that is better than it. So what are you going to do? You're going to put it together with Sidei Echal, which is the other Tolada. Because that's one away. Right? But that, La Bar Mineu, that is nothing to do. That's connected to Baheret, not connected to Seit. So Mari says, hi, Mai. No, that's not true. The question about Sid is a good question. The question about Krum Beitza is not a good question. Why Bishloma below Sidei Echal? Had I not had Sidei Echal, then Krum Beitza Lokasha, I can deal with Krum Beitza. Why Da'afagab de Krum Beitza mitatai de Se'eit, even though Krum Beitza is under the Se'eit, Rahman Amar, the Se'eit, Ula Sapachat. Right, so that, what does it mean to say the sapachat? Sapachat tefillah the seit. The sapachat is a derivative of seit. Afagav b'minchoto minei tuva. Even though it's very far away from it. So now how do we explain this? So this, Rashi explains.
It goes together with semel, although.
It's too away from it. It's too away from it. But why? So Rashi explains over here. This is the Rashi. Alright, but why? Why is that different than Sidei Echal? Why isn't Sidei Echal combined with Baheret? Why is it applied to Krum Beitza and not to Sidei Echal, what we just said? That's what you're just saying, is that the Toledah connects to the Av, even though it's two away. But why is that true by Krum Beitza, not true by Sidei Echal? So Rashi explains, it's because, what's the Pasuk say? That the Pasuk says, L'sa'et, it says, L'baheret, L'sa'et, U'l'sapachat. Where's the word sapachat found? The word sapachat is found all the way at the end of the pasuk. It doesn't say baheret u'sapachat, sa'et u'sapachat. The word sapachat is after the word sa'et. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, I've got the mantra meaning. It's filei Rabbi Kiva that the sa'et rabbi lebaheret lo rabbi. That's sapachat b'sa'et hu dichtiv. The word sapachat only is attached to the word sa'et. It's not attached to the word baheret. That means that there are only derivatives of the word sa'et. Means that everything is a toladah of se'et, not a toladah of baheret. That means, according to this, and the way Tosfos explains Rashi over here, that Rashi is saying that there's baheret, then there's se'et, and then there's two toladot of se'et, because sapachat is after the word se'et. That's the way Rashi explains it. So now I don't have a problem anymore, because I can explain Krum Beitza, I can explain why it connects to se'et, because it's a derivative of se'et. I can also explain why it would attach to Sidei Echal, because it's both of them are derivatives, toladot of se'et. What I can't explain then is how Sidei Echal is going to connect to Baheret. That I cannot explain. That's Rashi's explanation. But Tosfos says, V'kashal, he doesn't like this explanation. Number one is, right, because how is Rabbi Akiva going to explain Shtayim Shehein Arba? According to Rabbi Akiva, it's Achat, right, it's Achat Shu Shalosh. It's not Shtayim Shehein Arba. The first, Baheret has nothing to do with the other four. So that's number one. Number two is, he says, if you say that the sapachat, right, is not going on is going on se'et and not on baheret, how do you know to include two? Where do you know that they're two toladot? I mean, if you say sapachat refers to baheret and sapachat refers to the se'et, I know that you should have two toladot. But why, if sapachat only refers to se'et, should you have two toladot? You should have one toladah. So he says, no, that he doesn't like Rashi's explanation. V'chein nira. He says, the Faresh, the Rabbi Akiva, nami Sid toladah de Beheret. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, Sid is a toladah of Beheret. V'afilo hachi, eina mitzterefet ima. Even though it's not mitzterefet. Ho shebe gvoa meinu shtei malot. Because they're two categories away from each other. Aval im se'eit mitzterefet, she'ein gvoa mimenu elamala achat. But by se'eit it does connect, because it's only one apart. Sid and a se'eit are only one apart. In our Mishnah before, we just said it's not the same category how you can connect them. So that's the krum she toladah the se'eit mitzterefet ima, and the krum does mitzteref. Afkal the merchaka tuba, even though it's far away. Minichtiv tfei sapachat ase'eit mi baheret. So that's the answer. Tosa says that even though that was when we were trying to set up the Mishnah, we said that they're in different categories. But at Achanami, in the end, Rabbi Kiva can explain our Mishnah, and he can explain that when they're one category away, I can explain how they connect. What I cannot explain is when they are two categories away, how they connect. Our Mishnah suggests that Sida Ichal connects with Azah Kishelik. Right? It connects with Azah Kishelik and those two away. Rabbi Kiva can't explain that. I don't know how to explain that. I can explain Sidai Chal and Se'eit, even though they're in different categories. That was just what we were asking on him. That's not really the conclusion of the Gemara. The Gemara says that you can mix them up, and that's fine. Then how do I explain Krum Beitzah with Se'eit? Well, that's also two away. So the answer to the Gemara is what? It says, La Baheret La Seif Ula Sapachat. So even though Rabbi Kiva believes the word Sapachat goes on Baheret, and it goes on Se'eit, it's still right next to Se'eit. The word sapachat is right next to se'eit, which makes it that by se'eit, the sapachat is a much closer relative than the sapachat of beheret. And therefore, even though krum beitzah is two away from the se'eit, Rabbi Kiva will agree that it's mitzaref. But by sidei chal, he can't say that because it's two away. So either way now, Rabbi Kiva can't be the author of our Mishnah, because the Hachanami, you can, maybe the krum beitzah is not a question, but the sidei chal is a question, because our Mishnah says it's a toladah and it connects back to the azak hashelik. Rabbi Kiva can't accept that because it's two away. So that must mean, right, that it must be Asiyacha Kasha El Mechartah Matitan to look Rabbi Akiva. That's it. It must be clear that Rabbi Akiva is not the author of our Mishnah. Alright, we'll stop over here. The Gemara is then going to discuss Rabbi Akiva's opinion further, but it's a good place to stop. Otherwise, we'll be doing tomorrow's daf as well.